This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Good morning to you all. I'm so glad to be with you again this morning, Pastor Brian de Villiers. I trust we're going to have a good time around the Word of God as we study this morning. We continue in our studies on the life of Christ. We're going to speak today about the reality of his temptation. Now, I want to read from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4, and I'm going to read from verse 1 to 11. And this is what it says. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights afterwards, he was hungry. Now, when the tempter came to him and said, If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. And he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him up into the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple. And he said to him, If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, It is written again, You shall not tempt the Lord your God. Again the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, Away with you, Satan, for it is written, You shall worship the Lord your God and him only you shall serve. Then the devil let him alone, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Now, in our last study, we spoke about the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ, which I said to you last week marked the commencement of his public ministry. It is important to notice that after his baptism, immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Now, if we turn to Mark chapter 1, and I want to turn to it very quickly, Mark chapter 1, and we read verse 12. Immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. You got that? The Spirit led him into the wilderness. After the approval of heaven comes the assault of hell. After the dove comes the devil. This subject of our Lord's temptation is difficult for us to understand, but that it actually took place, we have no doubt. And in that it actually took place, it took place for a purpose. And though we cannot expect to fathom the deep mystery of these 40 days when he spent in the wilderness, we can reverently and profitably study the inspired account of that event. There have been those who have denied the historical and the reality of the crisis of our Lord Jesus Christ, his earthly life, saying that it was a mere legend, too far-fetched to be true. How many more legends are there in the gospel records then? Number one, I'd like to say to you this morning, our Lord entered the conflict under the constraint and the leading of the Holy Spirit. That's what we have just read together in Matthew 4 verse 1. Then Jesus led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. It was not at the instigation of the devil that our Lord was led into the wilderness. Let me make that clear. The devil didn't do it to be tempted, but of his own initiative. Satan was not challenging Christ. Christ was challenging Satan. Our Lord was dragging the evil one out into the open in order to expose him and defeat him. In doing so, as the servant of the Most High God, he was to be tested. Listen to these words of a great bygone era Christian man who wrote many books. Oswald Chambers said this: Temptation is the testing by an alien power, of the possessions held by a personality, Jesus, held within his unique personality, his own unspotted sanctity, and the fact that he was to be the king of men and the savior of the world, and Satan was the alien power that came to test him on these lines. In the wilderness, our Lord began to fulfill the words that are found in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. And these words are very significant. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, but you shall bruise his heel. And to the woman, that's what he said. He said, And this is the first. I tell people all the time, as a Bible scholar, this is the first promise given by God after the fall of Adam and Eve, to say there would be a Savior that would come into the world. He says, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. Her seed is Jesus. And he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel, only his heel. But Satan would receive a deathly blow. He would be defeated at the cross of Calvary, probably, which will one day receive complete fulfillment when the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of his Christ and of our God, and he will reign forever and ever. Number two, the time of our Lord's temptation is significant. This, of course, was not the first nor the last time that he was tempted. To think of the tempting of Jesus as the beginning and being exhausted in that special session in the wilderness is to misunderstand utterly the years at Nazareth and the full meaning of the wilderness experience. During the 30 silent years, he had triumphed over all temptation incidental to private life. Now he was to triumph over the temptation relative to his public ministry and his redeeming work that he would do on the cross of Calvary. Then again, notice that the three special temptations recorded in the Gospels only came at the end of 40 days of testing. Concerning the time factor, notice that his time of special temptation came, one, immediately after his baptism. Our fiercest temptation comes after our greatest times of blessing. Have you ever noticed that? You've got through something, God's come through for you, you've been in victory and you thank God for it. Then comes the attack. Number two, when he was alone, it is frequently the same with us. When you alone, the enemy comes to attack you because you are alone by yourself. Number three, he was hungry. That is physically weakened after 40 days of fasting. Satan takes advantage of our weak moments, our tiredness, our sickness. That's what he does. Number two, it was a conflict with a real and a powerful enemy. The devil, yes, is a real, highly intelligent and mighty personality. To deny the personality of Satan is to deny the Bible. As originally created by God, the devil was an angelic being of great power and of intelligence. And if we turn again this morning, and I want you to turn with me if you can. I'm going to turn to Ezekiel. And this is what it tells me here in Ezekiel 28, and I want to read from verse 12 to 19. Ezekiel 28, 12 to 19. Son of man, take up the lamentation for the king of Tyre, and say to him, thus says the Lord God, you were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering, the sardius, topaz, and diamond, beryl, onyx, and jasper, sapphire, turquoise, emerald, and gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created. There it tells us something. The day you were created, you were the anointed cherub who covers and established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. You've got that? Till iniquity was found in you. And then again, I want us to turn to the book of Isaiah, because we need to read Isaiah chapter 14. And this is what it tells us. In Isaiah chapter 14, these are the words that we find here. And they're very interesting because they're just like the ones that we have just read in Ezekiel. Isaiah 14, verse 12 to 14. How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? There you are. You're the son of the day star. How are you cut down to the ground? You weaken the nations, for you have said in your heart, what have you said? I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of the congregation on the farther sides of the north. I will ascend above the height of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. You shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. Do you see what it's saying to us here? We have these words. But though pride through pride, Satan fell and he became God's greatest enemy. That's what happened to him. He became God's greatest enemy, the devil himself. And when we read again and we read these words in this account that he's given to us in 2 Corinthians, I want to read from 2 Corinthians to you, chapter 11. And this is what it says to us in chapter 11. And I want to read from verse 14. This is what it says. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into what? Into an angel of light. There we've got it. He transforms himself into an angel of light. And then we read again from 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4. And this is what it says to us in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved until the final judgment day. That's what we read about it in the Word of God. And that is why I'm saying to deny the personality of Satan is to imply that all the wickedness, all the vileness, all the dreadful corruption that have characterized the human race over these thousands of years have come from men's own hearts from within. In the final analysis, this makes God the author of sin. And to say that Jesus did not meet a personal devil in the wilderness is also to imply that he was tempted by his own evil thoughts, by wickedness of his own heart. This would actually be blasphemy. And I've got to make that very clear to you this morning. That would be blasphemy. But we read again here in John 14 and verse 30. And this is what it says about the evil one. John chapter 14 and verse 30. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. You see, it's talking about the enemy of souls. Number four, the enemy chose three lines of attack. I want you to understand that this morning. The enemy of souls has chosen three lines of attack. Now, I want us to turn quickly to Luke chapter 4. And this is what Luke chapter 4 tells us. Luke chapter 4, and I read there from verse 1. Then Jesus, being filled with the Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And after being tempted 40 days, the devil, in those days he ate nothing, and afterward, when they ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. Then Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all authority is given to you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I wish. Therefore, you will worship before me. All will be yours. And Jesus answered him and said, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Then he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge of you to keep you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered and said to him, it has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. That is what it says. You shall not tempt. And carefully note these. There are only three ways in which anyone can be tempted, as is indicated. There's only three ways in which you and I can ever be tempted. And I want to show it to you this morning because I really believe we need to understand it. I want to turn there to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, and I read from verse 16, and this is what it says to us in verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of this world. And I want you to see that. It's not of this world. We need to understand that very, very clearly. And so we see again, Eve was tempted in these three ways and capitulated to each of them. And so our Lord faced the temptation. It was to appear the lust of the flesh. The second would appeal to the lust of the eyes, and the third would appeal to the pride of life. The first temptation was a fleshly temptation. The second was an aesthetic temptation, and the third was an intellectual temptation. The threefold attack of Satan was on the place of the physical, the mental, and the spiritual. The physical, if you've been hungry, well, turn these stones into bread. You see that? Physical, mental, and spiritual. In each case, the temptation was to mistrust God. Now, I want you to get that this morning. In each case, it was to mistrust God. Number five, the weapon with which our Lord silenced and overcame the enemy was the word of God. What did Jesus say to him every time he was tempted? The three times. It is written, he said to Satan, it is written. The immediate use of scripture shows us how familiar Jesus was with the scriptures. And he also is fully accepted the authority of the Old Testament scriptures. Do you not know the secret of victory in temptation? What does the Bible say to us in Ephesians? He says, put on the whole armor of God that you'll be able to stand in the evil day. Put on the armor of God. And I want you to notice that clearly. We have to put on the armor of God if we're going to stand against the wiles of the evil one. It's important for us that we stand against him. Because it tells us here in Ephesians chapter 5, and this is what it says, 6, pardon me, and this is what it says, Ephesians chapter 6, and I want you to get it, verse 10. Find him, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. You got that? We're not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of the age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Please take note of that. We're against them. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand, having your waist girded with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, which will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, and all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So what are we to do? if we notice this, we are to take the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. That's how we're going to be victorious in life, as we come against temptation and we do not yield. To have been tempted is not sin. But when you keep it going over in your mind, in the end it will become. You will do that. So we need to put it out of our mind. How do we do it? Through the Word of the living God. There's no other way for victory over this great adversary but to use the Word of the living God. I want you to get that right. The weapon that we are to use is the Word of God. Number six, the purpose of the temptation was not to see if our Lord would be or could sin, but to prove that he was the sinless one. This is important. By resisting temptation at every point, he openly demonstrated the fact that he, the last Adam, do you get it? Jesus, there was the first Adam, he fell. But that the last Adam, Jesus Christ. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit, was not only innocent like the first Adam before the fall, but he was sinless, holy. In the wilderness, he repulsed the devil, emerged victorious. When the devil had ended all the temptation, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. That's what the Word of God tells us so clearly to each one of us this morning. He returned from Galilee. Chapter 4 of Luke, verse 13 and 14 says this. And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and the news of him went out through all the surrounding region. Isn't that wonderful? It went out about him to all the surrounding region. Number seven, the value of our Lord's temptation for ourselves this morning. Through him, our victorious Lord, who has conquered Satan, we may be more than conquerors. What does Romans 8:37 say? Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We are more than conquerors. Isn't that wonderful to know this morning? We're more than conquerors through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then, what does it say to us? It says to us, we need to meditate and rejoice in what he has done for us, Jesus. And we turn to 1 Corinthians. I want you to get 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And this is what 1 Corinthians chapter 10 says to you and to me this morning. And I want you to write it down if you can. I want you to remember and I want you to meditate on it. 1 Corinthians, here we are, chapter 10 and verse 13, it says this, no temptation has overtaken you except as is common to man, but God is faithful, God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able to, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. And now unto him who is able to keep you from falling. He's able to keep you from falling. And then we read these glorious words that we find that I want to close with this morning of Hebrews chapter 4. And from I read here from verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. There's saving grace, there's keeping grace, and the grace of God, I want to tell you this morning, is going to keep you from falling when you face temptation, when you trust Jesus as your Savior, when you know the Word of God and you wield the sword of the Spirit. I tell you, my friends, you will not yield to him. You will stand and be victorious. Let's pray together this morning. Father, we thank you for your Word. We thank you for the encouragement. that when temptation comes, we, your children, will be able to stand. We don't stand on our own. We can't do it on our own. We use the word of the living God. We stand knowing Jesus Christ is the one who will strengthen us and help us by the power of your Holy Spirit. We thank you for that today. We thank you that there is keeping grace that will keep us from falling. I pray for anybody who doesn't know Jesus today. They'll open their hearts, their lives to him and say, Lord Jesus, I need you. Without you, I won't make it. And that's true. Come into my heart. Come into my life today. Be the Lord and the Savior of my life. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you and be with you today. If you need counseling, then 021-180-5744. 021-180-5744. Radio Cape Pulpit Counselors. And to me, Pastor Brian de Villiers at CRC Cape Town. 021-552-4096. 021-552-4096. Thank you for being with me today. God bless you. Have an incredible day with Jesus. Amen.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.